بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما رسائل الدرر الشريف اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. This is session 2 in our series Spiritual Warfare, the daily battle with Shaitan. Yesterday we spoke about the schemes and the plots of Shaitan, and you went away empowered with 7 ways in which Shaitan tries to stop you when trying to do a good deed, and you were empowered with 7 powerful tools, whether beneficial or not. Was it helpful? Did it make a difference in your day to day? These are tools that you can start putting into place, into practice immediately, and they are life changing. And like this, inshallah, we're going to come across much more. So Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi, he speaks about this topic and he says, whoever understands that we have this enemy and we can't flee from the enemy, the enemy is with you. Because yesterday we said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, he mentions, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي فِي الْإِنسَانِ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ, that Shaitan flows inside you just like blood flows in you. So we can't separate. So Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi says that anyone who realizes that we cannot escape from Shaitan, then the only way to overpower Shaitan, the only way we can defeat the Shaitan, is by 2 things. Number 1, he says, patience. And number 2 is determination. Basically, we're in for a fight. This is a true battle. It's a struggle, it's a battle, it's a fight. And then he goes on to say that when we are determined, this will be a defeat for the Shaitan. He says, Azimatul insan, hazimatul shaitan. The determination of the human being is a defeat for the devil. So what do we need? Determination. Basically, we have to, this is a decisive battle. We can't be wishy-washy about this. This is a topic and an area you can't be wishy-washy about, because Shaitan's got all the tricks, he's got all the tactics, he's always on guard. 24/7, 365 days, he has only one mission and one mission alone, and he doesn't separate from you. So this has to be a decisive battle. And someone might think I'm being a bit dramatic calling it a battle. It is, it's a battle. It's really, it's literally a fight. It's a battle that we're in. Now, the 7 ways you learned yesterday, I'm hoping that gives you a different way of thinking, a different way of seeing. And like this, we'll be going through different methods and understanding them. Now, when you leave the house, when you were young, or even now as well, many a times when you leave the house, in order to make sure that no thieves come into your house, you don't get any burglaries, what do your parents tell you to do sometimes? Leave the light on. Okay, typical Asian thing. Leave the light on. Well, I know now which houses are empty. Leave the light on. So exactly, this is the same thing. Shaitan, he's the thief. He's waiting. We have to learn how to keep the light on, because we can't always be focused, right? We're going to be busy doing other things as well. Just like you leave your house and you keep the light on, that shows what? It shows you're alert. You're aware. You know that there's some dodgy people in this area lurking around. And it shows that you're aware. When Shaitan finds out that you're aware, then he's careful as well. He treads carefully as well. When a thief, a burglar, knows that you know what's going on, it's being monitored, they change their route. They don't come directly anymore. So this is what we need. Now, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that traditionally, there's been 2 ways of dealing with Shaitan. How do you deal with Shaitan? And mainly Shaitan, his waswasa. How do you deal with it? Traditionally, there were 2 ways of dealing with it. Number 1, it's called, in Arabic, we call it isti'adha. Isti'adha. And number 2, mujahada. These are 2 Arabic terms. I'm going to break them down and really simplify them. Isti'ada means to seek Allah's protection. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ Quran says, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ When the whisper of shaitan comes and attacks you, say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Simple, in simple words, if there's a dog chasing you, there's a dog barking at you, right? One way of dealing with it is I start barking back at the dog. A dog's barking at me, I start barking back at the dog. But instead, if the owner of the dog is standing right next to the dog and holding the lead, and the dog's bark, instead of me barking at the dog, I'm going to tell the owner, hey, tell your dog to do one, otherwise, before I give it a kick, or something like that. You're gonna tell the owner's there, he's holding the leash. So the way isti'adha is basically asking Allah, rather than barking back at shaitan, is asking Allah, I'm asking you, sort this guy out. He's doing my head in, he's giving me a hard time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. All I seek refuge. You own me, you own him as well. Sort him out. Get him out of here. So this is isti'adha. And traditionally, one way of dealing with shaitan was through isti'adha. The second way of dealing with shaitan is mujahada. Mujahada means to fight him. Literally to fight him. Our discussion throughout the series is going to be on point number two. Fighting. Battle. Having a war with the shaitan. Because isti'adha we know, it's simple. You just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi then says that in actual fact we need... So there's a third way of dealing with shaitan, and that's using both. Sometimes we will use isti'adha and say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and leave it to Allah. But at other times, we are going to put up a fight. And we are literally going to battle the shaitan. So we are at war. This is the reality. We are at war. From the time we were born, we are at war with the devil. He declared war because he pinched you. He pinched every single one of us. And we all cried when we were born. That's because we were pinched by the shaitan. And he declared war then. So our battle with him has started. Now, there are three steps. If you want to fight the shaitan, there are three steps to keep in mind. And I'm hoping that you guys are noting these things as we're going along. I'm trying to break it down and simplify it as much as possible. Mujahada, fighting with shaitan. There are three ways. There are three steps to this fight. Step number one is to learn and study the tricks and the tactics of shaitan. Exactly what you're doing now. What you're doing now, this series, 14-part series, which this is a second part of, this is exactly that. Learning the tricks and the traps and the tactics of shaitan. So this is number one. And inshallah, we're going to continue with this. First 7 nights of Ramadan, and then the last 7 nights of Ramadan, inshallah. Number two, step number two. One of the main tools shaitan uses is something we call waswasa, which is the whispers of shaitan. So step number two is belittle the whispers of shaitan. Now we're going to go into this, a lot of detail into this. But I'm just going to like basically gloss over it now on a surface level. Just explain to you that shaitan is going to whisper to you. He's going to give you all kind of thoughts. What does it mean to belittle it? Don't give it attention. Don't give it attention. Whatever you give attention... Now remember this rule. Remember this principle. Whatever you give attention to, it grows. Whatever you give focus to, it grows. So if shaitan's giving me an idea and I give attention to it, it's going to get bigger and bigger. Shaitan's gone. Shaitan's not even here anymore. He's gone. But now I'm giving attention to this thought and this idea, and it's going to grow, it's going to grow, it's going to grow, it's going to grow. But if I ignore it, right? The most difficult thing you can do to someone that's really annoying, think of a younger brother or a sister, right? That's really annoying. And they keep doing your head in. They keep saying the same thing again and again and again and again. The worst thing you can do to them is what? Ignore them. Don't say anything. And eventually they're going to give in. So this is how we are supposed to... I'm giving you a very basic overview. We're going to go into detail. So step one is to learn the tricks and the tactics of shaitan. Step two is to belittle the waswasa. Don't give it attention. Don't make a big deal out of it. Don't delve into it. If you delve into it, you're going to get stuck. The example the ulama mentioned, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says, the waswasa of shaitan is like a stranger you meet on the path. When you're walking down the road, you're in college, you're in the university, you're in the town center, right? We go past hundreds of people. So waswasa is like you passing a stranger. When you pass by a stranger, what are you meant to do? What are you meant to do? When you pass by a stranger, what do? Oh, we don't even smile. You just carry on. You don't know who they are. Imagine every time someone went past you, you stopped to say hello. I said, oh, nice jacket. How are you doing today? So what have you been up to? This is engaging with the thought. These thoughts, we have to treat them like strangers passing by. Because just like strangers come and they go, thoughts will come and they will go if we treat them like strangers on the path. But if we stop to speak and engage and say hello to every person that passes by, what's going to happen? You're going to get tangled up. You're going to get into this conversation. And you're going to get deeper. You're going to get stuck into somebody else's problem. How's everything? Everything okay? Yeah, I'm all right. But you know what? I was actually looking for someone to speak to. And then they start. And you are meant to just say hello. With shaitan, that doesn't work. You can't just say hello to him. You can't entertain his thought. Because once you get in there, it's very hard to come back out. So treat it like a stranger on the path. So this is what the scholars have said in regards to shaitan. There is actually a hadith where the Sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said that sometimes shaitan comes to you and he gives you a waswasa. And in your head he says to you, so who created the stars? So you say, Allah. Who created the sun? Allah did. Who created the sky? Allah did. Who created the rain? Allah did. Who created the trees? Allah did. Who created Allah? This is how shaitan works. These are the kind of thoughts that come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when it reaches here, literally the hadith says, drop it. Just drop it. So what are we eating today? Literally, this is what we have to do. I'm giving you practical tools of how to deal with it. When something like that happens, drop it. Don't even go into it. Don't even try and, you know, think of something. No, just drop it straight. Leave it. Just get into something else straight away. How do we drop it? We drop it by just busy yourself in something else. Immediately change the topic. Start talking about something else. Start doing something else. Because once he gets to you, he doesn't let go. He's going to carry on. He's going to carry on. He's going to carry on. Sahaba once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, oh Prophet of Allah, sometimes we have such intrusive thoughts that we don't even have the courage to mention on our tongues the things that we sometimes think about. I'm sure we can all relate, right? Don't go there now, but it's Ramadan. So we can all relate. We know, like, Sahaba were honest. They were very raw people. They weren't fake. أَقَلُّهُمْ تَكَلُّفًا. What we love about the Sahaba, the least pretentious people. There was no fakeness in them. They were just absolutely raw. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with everything that they had, and they were very open about it. So Prophet of Allah, sometimes we think of certain things, we don't even have the guts to actually mention it now. That's how bad it is. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ذَلِكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. He said, that's a sign of true faith right there. That's your strong iman. You guys might be thinking, how's that strong iman? What part of that strong iman, tell me? Where's the strong iman there? Okay, but where's the strong iman? That was shaitan. Where's the strong iman? Okay, so that's a point for shaitan. But where's your strong iman here? That's what the question is. So did they want to talk about it? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't prolong it. He didn't give it any attention, number one. So he dropped it straight away. And the fact that you dislike to even mention it, that proves that you don't like it happening. That's a sign of your faith. Shaitan can make you feel horrible. You're such a disgusting person. You're a horrible person. But the fact that you don't want to even mention it, that's sufficient. That is iman, isn't it? Had you not had iman, you wouldn't want to, like, you'd just go out and blurt it to anybody. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about this as well. Now, the worst thing is to actually entertain the thought. And that's like stopping the stranger and
engaging with them, speaking to them. Now, Shaitan, with these thoughts, what he wants to do the most, he wants to steal two things of you, mess you up in two areas. Number one, take away your peace of mind. And number two, take away your time. That's what he's after. Your peace of mind and your time. Because when you don't have peace of mind, right, you're all over the place. You can't focus, you can't concentrate, you can't pay attention to the things, you can't fulfill your duties, you're not on task, you're not on time, you're nowhere. And that's what he tries to do. He wants to take away your peace of mind. And that's why he throws these thoughts at you. And secondly, he wants to take away your time. Now, I'm going to share with you another trick of Shaitan. Yesterday we spoke about some of the tricks. This is another trick now, from his playbook. One of the tricks of Shaitan, and remember, Shaitan's tricks are not always about bad things. They're not all about sins. Lots of Shaitan's tricks are to do with good deeds as well. And this is a month where we're doing more good deeds. So we have to understand him. He doesn't just come to you through sins and kufr and shirk and nifaq and bad deeds and stuff like that. He comes to you in the form of good deeds as well. And it's for us to know and understand how to recognize. By the way, at the end of today, yesterday I shared with you 7 tools. At the end of today's session, I'm going to be sharing with you a technique for you to know which thought is a waswasa and which thought is not a waswasa. How do you know something is a waswasa of Shaitan and that something isn't a waswasa of Shaitan? Do you think that will be something beneficial for you guys? Right? That would make a huge difference to your lives, right? If you were to know the technique, that one technique that you can tell, hang on, is this a waswasa of Shaitan or is it something good? Right? I'll share that with you, inshallah, just towards the end today. So, Shaitan sometimes comes to you through excessiveness. Excessiveness. Like Ramadan is a time where loads of people change. Up until now, we weren't praying. One of the ways Shaitan comes to you, and this happens a lot with converts, right? You've seen people accept Islam. The new Muslims, and they just go hardcore. They're like wearing a tasbih around their neck as well. And like they're praying, they hear all the, they're in the masjid all the time. They're doing so much dhikr. They want to give all their money away to charity. And they're just reading so much Quran. And sometimes it happens to us in Ramadan, right? We weren't praying. And then all of a sudden, we want to do everything in one go. Sometimes Shaitan comes to you through excessiveness, going hardcore. That is never a good thing to do. Never. And you might be thinking, whoa, are you telling us to not do good deeds? Yes, I am. Because what's the point where after 5 days, we're going to ask, where's that brother gone? Oh, he's nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. That's what happens. So you'd rather take it easy, go slowly, bit by bit, do a little bit today, do a little bit, leave some for tomorrow, okay? Leave some for the next day, rather than trying to do it all in one go. This is one of the ways Shaitan comes to you as well. One of the tricks of Shaitan. Regarding Salah, for example, somebody asked one of the great Imams, Qasim bin Muhammad, rahmatullah alayhi, said, you know, sometimes I'm doing my Salah. And whilst I'm doing my Salah, Shaitan comes to me and he gives me these intrusive thoughts. And he tells me, do you know what? You've done 3 rakat. Yeah? You've done 3 rakat. What should I do? Look at the advice. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi also gave this advice. When Shaitan comes to you in your salah, and look, this is how Shaitan works. Shaitan goes to you. Look, Shaitan doesn't always come to you in the form of committing sins. Shaitan tells you, you know, salah is the most important thing. The first thing you have to answer for on the day of judgment. You don't do anything else anyway. You're only doing your salah. Imagine turning up on the day of judgment and your salah is like thrown away in your face. Imagine this salah doesn't count. How are you going to show your face to? These are the kind of things Shaitan comes up with, right? How can you not pray your salah properly? Just repeat it. Just repeat it. Now, it looks like a good thing, doesn't it? Repeating salah sounds like a good thing. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, he's taught us how to deal with this. He said, whenever Shaitan comes to you in your salah and he gives you this doubt, I'm not talking about conviction, I'm talking about doubt. Conviction is different. You know you've prayed 3. That's different. You're convinced. But when he puts a doubt in your head, When you put a doubt, a waswasa, don't think it's a good thing. It's never a good thing. A doubt is never a good thing. It's a waswasa. It's never a good thing. That's shaitan right there. When he does that to you, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali has told us, the way you deal with it is you say to the shaitan, yeah, you're right. And I'm not going to repeat it. Just because you told me to. And that's it. Carry on. Carry on. You don't need to repeat it. Why? Why are you following the shaitan? Shaitan's telling you to repeat it. He wants you to repeat it. Why? So once you do it once, he's going to get stronger. And he's going to do it again, and again, and again, and again. And then that doubt spreads everywhere. That doubt spreads everywhere. So, he's basically said, he comes to you in your salah, tells you. You tell him, okay, yeah, okay, fine. You know, if someone's having a go at you, right? And you agree with them. Yep, I believe you. Okay. What happens now? What happens now? Conversation ends right there. If someone's giving you, they're swearing at you, they're cussing you, they're saying all sorts of things to you, and you go, okay, whatever you say, I believe it. That's fine. Next, now what? So sometimes this is how we deal with shaitan. Shaitan keeps telling you, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to repeat it though because you told me to. How many times it's happened, you've gone to the sink, you're about to wash the dishes, and your missus comes down and she goes, make sure you wash the dishes. And I go, do you know what? I'm not going to wash the dishes. I was about to, but because you told me I'm not doing it. Like, I'm actually doing it. Why are you telling me to do it? And you can relate with either a sibling or a parent. Sometimes it's annoying. You're doing something and someone's telling you to do it. And then you defy that saying, do you know what? Just because you told me, I'm not going to do it. So Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali is telling you, just because shaitan's telling him, I'm not going to do it because you told me to do it. And that's it, you end it there. And the doubt will go away. So, and anybody who's into training, going to the gym will know, like, burnout. If you want to do all of your training in one day, you have to pace yourself. A little bit today, a little bit today, gradually. You're a new person, you've just come. Like, we're all new to Ramadan. We weren't praying the way we were prior to Ramadan. You pace yourself. And we increase gradually as the days go. And we won't get burnout. Otherwise, you get burnout in 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, we're nowhere to be seen. So this is one of the advices of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh. So how many have we mentioned? We're speaking about three steps of how to fight the shaitan. And we're going to go into detail. We're just giving an overview. So number one, step number one is to study and learn the tactics and the tricks of shaitan. Number two is to belittle the whispers. And I've given you a brief overview of how to do that. And we'll go into more detail as we go along. Number three, the third way is to keep busy in the dhikr of Allah with your tongue and your heart. So not just the tongue, the heart as well. Like being present and focused. That is probably one of the strongest tools against the shaitan. Because we know from the hadith that shaitan sits. Shaitan, there is a shaitan that sits on the left side of your heart. Constantly he's there. The Quran says, "Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas." The one that gives the waswasa into the chests of mankind. Min al jinnati wan nas. Human shaitans. And the jinn shaitans, we spoke about them yesterday. So shaitan is literally always present on the left side of your chest. He's waiting for any moment that you're absent-minded, you're not focused, and he injects his poison. Any chance he gets. So every time you make dhikr, he moves back. You remember Allah, he moves back. When you're heedless, he attacks and he injects his poison at that time. Now remember, when you say, for example, you say Subhanallah, or you say La ilaha illallah, you say Allahu Akbar, or you're remembering Allah with your heart, and there's many ways of doing that, we'll go into that now as well. That creates a nur, that creates a light. Darkness and light can't come together. Where there's light, there's no darkness. So when there's nur, shaitan has to move back, because he's darkness. When the light goes away, the darkness will come in. So this is the constant, it's a constant battle all the time. 24/7, this battle is ongoing.
So I give you one very powerful, and this is something we should not miss. Should not miss. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, whoever says after Salatul Fajr, and alhamdulillah, at the moment we're all praying Fajr. May Allah make us from the people of Fajr. So whoever says after Fajr, there's a specific way of doing this. After you finish your Salatul Fajr, you're supposed to do this before you stand up and before you talk to anybody. 10 times you read, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. When we were young studying in the madrasa, we used to call this the fourth kalima. Don't know what you guys call it, but that's what we called it when we were young. I don't know if it's still known as that, but that's how some of you will remember this. The fourth kalima. And if not, kalimatul tawheed, the Arab speaking brothers. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Whoever says this 10 times after Fajr, you get protection from shaitan for the whole day. This is a very unique type of protection that's only contained in these adhkar, a special type of protection. So we need this. So this is one tool that you're taking away with you today, right? Yes. Yeah, of course. Of course. So there's no fixed order of when you read it. So when you finish your salah, there's certain things to say. So when you finish your fard salah, you're going to say, like the first thing you should say is Allahu Akbar, and then say Astaghfirullah 3 times. And then you probably say Allahumma Antas Salam wa Minkas Salam. There's a couple of other du'as. You probably read Ayatul Kursi. And then you'll do 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. And after that, you can read this. You can read it before if you want. As long as you read it after Fajr, before you get up from your place, before you talk to anybody. 10 times. It takes literally 10 seconds. La ilaha illallah, to say it once. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And you just say that 10 times. And you get protection for the rest of the day from shaitan. So this is a type of dhikr. Now, yesterday we spoke about, now this is a metaphor obviously, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh gives us an explanation. The waswasa of shaitan comes in two forms. What did we say yesterday? He attacks you in two ways. What does he have? Arrows and nets, right? So remember this. There are two ways how he attacks you. Arrows and nets. The arrows are the thoughts, right? And we're going to speak about the thoughts more. Yesterday we spoke about some of the nets. What we spoke about yesterday, you know, the seven ways how he stops you from doing a good deed, that's a net, that's a strategy, that's a plan. That's literally a page from his playbook, right? Like we're literally reading out of it, and we're literally seeing, this is what he does, this is how we're going to fight it. The arrows of shaitan are the thoughts, the waswasa. And with every human being, we said yesterday that there is an angel. Allah has kept an angel with you. The name of the angel is Mulhim. Mulhim, meaning the inspired one. There's an angel with every person. The name of that angel is Mulhim. His job is to give you ilham, meaning he inspires you with good ideas. Sometimes when you're just sitting around and you think, I should read some Quran. That's Mulhim right there. That's Mulhim, right? I should do some dhikr. That's Mulhim. I should go and help my parents preparing the iftar. That's Mulhim. Okay? I should give £10 in charity. Mulhim. This is Mulhim giving you, how kind is Allah that he's placed with you, this angel, constantly, 24/7, this angel is with you. And he's always giving you these good thoughts and good ideas. So that's the angel that's with you. And then you have a shaitan with you. Some have said the name of this shaitan is actually waswas. The idea of the shaitan, Quran tells you, is a qareen. But his name is waswas. What's his job? Waswasa, right? Waswasa are the whispers of shaitan, and he's going to give you these evil ideas. Now remember, Mulhim gives you an idea. Read some Quran. So you think, let me go to my room. It's Ramadan. Let me go to my room, dedicate myself. No distractions. No one's going to disturb me. You sit there reading Quran. Now remember, when waswas, your shaitan, waswas comes to you, he doesn't always come to you in the form of committing sins. He sometimes comes to you through the good deed that you're doing. Because when you're conflicted with two good deeds, right? And one's better than the other, he wants you to go for the lower one. So, I'll give you an example. You're reading Quran. You're reading Quran because Mulhim gave you this idea, go and read some Quran. So you picked up the Quran. You're reading Quran. I'm reading Quran now. Whilst I'm reading Quran, my mom's calling me. Now what? Now there's a conflict of two good deeds. What Waswas is going to do now is going to tell you, this is your only chance to read Quran. Don't let her disturb you. Can she only call you now? All this time you are free, you aren't doing anything. Why is it she always calls you when you sit to read Quran? No, this is Quran time. Ignore her. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, if you're praying your salah and your mom calls you, you have to respond. Even if you're in your salah. But can you see how waswas works? How imperative it is for us to understand and know the tricks of shaitan. He's not only going to tell you, go and listen to music. No, sometimes he comes in the form of good deeds. And he tries to bring you to a... If you've got two good deeds, like he knows that he's not going to make you do idol worship. He's given up on that. So he's going to try and take you to a lower level. Because he's debased. And he wants you to become debased as well. So instead of you listening to your mother at that time, he's going to make you do something that's on a lower level. And that's, carry on reading Quran. Oh, you're reading so well today. You're enjoying it as well. Just finish up to the end of the para and then see what she wants. This is waswas right there. Whereas what you're supposed to do is close the Quran and go and see what she wants. If it's urgent, you can carry on. If it's not, you can carry on reading your Quran. You can tell, I was reading Quran. Can I carry on reading Quran? And I'll do that afterwards. And she'll be fine with it. Most likely, she'll be fine with it. But this is where shaitan can really get somebody. So this is what we call the waswas. Another way of shaitan coming to you in this form is, this is a really common one. I just heard it a couple of days ago from someone as well. Very, very common. Mulhim inspires you to memorize the Quran. To read the Quran. Immediately, waswas comes to you and says, do you know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? That if you learn the Quran and you forget it, an angel's going to come in the grave and smash your head and you're going to be facing Allah on the day of judgment in a pitiful condition. How often do we hear this? Someone saying, I'm not going to do hifz. I'm not going to learn the Quran because learning and forgetting is really bad. How often do we hear this? This is very common. But is that the way of looking at our deen? That's not the way of looking at our deen. No, we think, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to try and to preserve it. And that hadith is about those people who intentionally forget, who become negligent, who don't read it at all. Right? There's a difference there. It's not talking about somebody who's done hifz and then you've forgotten it a little bit. That's normal. That's going to happen. But you keep trying. But if you don't read it at all, if you don't try at all, we're human beings. We've got weak brains. Of course, you're not going to remember it all the time. See, even those who lead Taraweeh, ask them how many times they have to go over it. They have to go over it. And even then, they make mistakes. Right? So that's okay. That's fine. We're human beings. So this is how Mulhim sometimes comes to you. In not just good ways, but through... not just sins, but through another good deed as well. Sometimes... Now, this is going a bit deep now. Sometimes, waswas can actually make you go towards a good deed to lead towards a greater evil. Like he'll encourage you to read the Tahajjud. Wow, really? Yes. Encourage you to wake up for Tahajjud. You pray your Tahajjud. Now what he wants out of it is, he wants you to pray Tahajjud. So that the rest of the day you walk around the people acting as if after Jibreel, you're the next person. Like I'm the sheikh of the world, of the time. Like there's no one better than me because I woke up at Tahajjud today. Like that arrogance is worse than probably committing a sin. That tahajjud and arrogance is probably worse than committing a sin. This is why Ibn Ata'illah al-Askandari rahmatullah alayhi says something. Please don't take it out of context. It's very deep. He says that many a times it happens. How many times it happens that a person does a good deed and then earns the wrath of Allah? And how many times does it happen that a person commits a sin and earns the mercy of Allah? What I'm trying to say is sometimes you do a sin and you feel bad about it. And you end up asking Allah for forgiveness and you get Allah's mercy. And sometimes someone does a good deed and you feel so boastful about it
that instead of getting Allah's mercy, what happens? Instead, you get the anger of Allah. So we have to be alert. The idea of these sessions is teaching us to be alert. You are at war, and this is a real fight. It's a real battle. It's happening every single day. We have to be alert, and we have to know, we have to be 10 steps ahead of the shaitan. Know the tricks and the tactics of the shaitan. And the way to do it is just telling yourself, it's not over yet. If I've done a good deed, it's not over yet, right? I can still be tested in regards to a good deed. If I've committed a sin, it's not over yet, right? That's not the end of it. I have to make tawbah. I have to ask Allah for forgiveness. So knowing that it's not over yet, just because we do a good deed doesn't mean we've achieved it all. Now, coming towards the end, where I said I'm going to speak to you about how to determine whether a thought is a waswasa or it's not. So, every thought that you have, I'm going to share with you four beneficial thoughts. Four thoughts that you have, which are, I can guarantee to you that these are beneficial thoughts. You don't need to worry about them. Four types of thoughts that are beneficial. So if you have a thought, you can put it into one of these four categories. You can be resting assured that, alhamdulillah, this is a good thought. It's not going to mess me up. Number one. The first is a worldly thought, thinking about a worldly benefit. Something that a thought that will bring you benefit in this world. Like, for example, you're thinking about a pay rise at work, a promotion, right? Getting another car. Like, these are not bad thoughts. It's something bringing you worldly benefit. Thinking about making some improvement in your home, right? Thinking about changing up, you know, oh, this paint doesn't look good. You're just sitting there, these thoughts are going in your head. This is some kind of worldly benefit, isn't it? You're thinking about where to go on holiday, for example. What to do with the kids when the next break comes up. What should we have to eat on Eid? These are things about worldly benefit. These are not bad thoughts per se. These are not from shaitan. There is worldly benefit. There is some kind of worth. So first category of thoughts from the four is those thoughts that bring you some kind of worldly benefit, number one. And it's fine. Like, we live in this world. You have to. You can't just be in the masjid all day. You know, one time, Umar radiallahu anhu, in the afternoon, he walked past the masjid and he saw a youngster sitting in the masjid. He goes, what are you doing here? It's not salah time. What are you doing here? He goes, I'm remembering Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu got his stick and beat him and get out of the masjid. Go and earn your livelihood. This is not a time to be in the masjid. That's not normal. You're not supposed to be in the masjid in the afternoon. The Quran tells you this is a time you go during the day. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا Quran says. We've made the day to earn your livelihood. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا The Prophet said, the person who leaves his house in the morning to earn a halal living, when you come back home in the evening, all your sins are forgiven. You don't need to read Quran at work. That's being disloyal with your services. Your work is an ibadah. طلب كسب الحلال فريضة بعد الفريضة. Earning a halal livelihood is an obligation after your other obligations. After salah, after your fasting, after zakat, after hajj. The next obligation that's upon you is to earn a halal living. So when you go to work in the morning, don't despise it. You're actually fulfilling an obligation. You have to earn. Umar radiallahu anhu became angry with somebody sitting in the masjid in the afternoon. Get out of here. This is not time to be at the masjid. Everything has a time. This is not a time to be here. So, if you are thinking about worldly thoughts that bring you worldly benefits, that's okay. That's one category, number one. Number two, the second type of thought are those where you're pushing away a worldly harm. You're thinking about how I can protect myself from some kind of danger, some kind of problem, some kind of difficulty in your life. Whether it could be, again, it could be something to do with, okay, how can we make sure that this winter we don't have a leak in the house or something, right? And you're thinking about doing the roof up, okay? You're thinking making sure the boilers are all okay, right? You're taking care of, you know, your car, for example, making sure it's serviced, right? This, you're thinking of how you can prevent yourself from any worldly harm. These kind of thoughts,
are category two. So we've said worldly benefit, one. Number two, saving yourself from worldly harm. Number three, the third type of thoughts are, these are also speaking about beneficial thoughts, by the way. Number three, how can I better my akhirah? How can I better my afterlife? You're just sitting there or just driving home. It's a long day. Traffic is sitting there. And you're thinking about how you can better your akhirah. Of course, we know it's a good thought. And I'm sure you've guessed what the fourth one is. What's the fourth one? Yeah, protect yourself from harm in the akhirah, in the afterlife. So, four types of beneficial thoughts. Number one, gaining some kind of worldly benefit. Number two, saving yourself from worldly harm. Number three, gaining benefit in the hereafter. Number four, saving yourself from harm in the hereafter. Now, I want you to think of a random thought. And tell me. And then see which category it falls into. Does it fall into one of these categories? Like if, for example, you thought that you're just sitting there and you thought, okay, I'm going to, when I get home today, you're in the traffic, you're thinking, when I get home today, I'm going to ask my mom if she needs anything from the shop for iftar. Which one is that? Okay, third one. Then you can categorize them easily. Give me another thought. Just any random thought. Come on, guys, your thoughts are not that dodgy, you know. No one's saying anything. Okay, my staff won't turn up tomorrow at work. What's that? Which category is that? Well, number two, I would say. Yeah? Number two. Can you see? You can start putting them in and you can think, do you know what? This is okay. It's okay. It's okay to think about a worldly benefit. It's okay to think about saving yourself from a worldly harm. Of course, akhirah benefit and saving yourself from an akhirah harm. Now, once we've discussed this, now we're going to speak about, in conclusion of today's discussion, we're going to speak about the highest thoughts. So I've given you a little plan of four areas. Now we're going to speak about what are the best, like these are things we can think about and you know your limits now and you can put it into any one of these and it's fine. What is the best thing you can think about? What are considered the highest thoughts? The best, yes. Well, I'm going to go through five things I'm going to share with you. These are considered the highest of thoughts. And if you can engage in these, this is amazing. Of course, we can't stay in all of them all the time. But this really, really, really puts things into perspective. And it's extremely beneficial. So, number one. The highest thought that you can have. And guys, we have a lot of time throughout the day when we're just thinking about things, right? And because you can think, like even now, as I'm talking, you guys are thinking about something, right? And now you're thinking more. And now you feel silly because you're thinking about that, you're thinking, right? It's ongoing, constantly, isn't it? Right? It's happening all the time. So, the highest thought that you can engage in, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi mentions, the highest thought that you can engage in is in regards to the revealed verses of Allah. What are they? What are the revealed signs? The revealed signs. The signs of Allah in the world, right? I'm talking about the revealed signs. They're not revealed, are they? Ayatillah. What are ayatillah? What do we call ayatillah? Quran. The highest thought that you can engage in is regarding the verses of Allah. Now I'm going to show you how to do this. I think in the whole 14 series, this point is probably the most awesome point I'm going to share with you. So grasp this one. I don't think there's anything better than this. So take note of this, write it down, and try and practice this. This is the highest thought that you can engage in, is thinking about
a verse of the Quran.
Now, how do we do this? Because most of us are not Hafiz, including me. So how do we do, how do we kind of think about the Quran? So the way you do this is, at the moment, it's going to be really easy for you to practice because alhamdulillah, in some capacity, we're all reading Quran to a certain extent. When you're reading Quran now, choose any ayah or a part of an ayah. Or it doesn't even have to be from your reading. It could be something you already know, like a part of an ayah that you already know. Give me an example. Like, for example, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Everybody knows that. Yeah, everybody knows. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. We all know that. And which means, Allah is saying, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Allah is speaking to the humans and the jinns, that He's given you so much, which of Allah's favors are you going to deny? Right? So the answer to that is, no, none of them, Allah. We won't deny any of them. We declare that, oh Allah, you've given us so much. That's an ayah. So what you do now is that ayah, you either have it as a screensaver, or you write it down, or the best thing is to have, we all have our phones, have it somewhere where you can see it again and again, that one ayah. And I would say for maybe 1 week even, right? Keep that, that ayah of your focus. That whenever you get a chance, a moment, and you're not doing anything else, just think about that ayah. Or just repeat it. That's it. This is the highest thought that you can engage in. There's nothing higher than this. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi saying, is the highest thought that you can have. It's very easy to do. Hardly anyone does it though. Living with the Quran, it's very easy. But very few people do it. So it's just one ayah, one part of an ayah. And you could change it up. For example, another ayah could be, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah has the power to do anything. Right? That you've got the ayah in Arabic, you've got the translation. Literally, you just look at it. You don't even have to say anything, you just look at it. Right? And you just think about it. As much as you can. Whenever you get a moment. Right? If it's on your phone, we pick it out hundreds of times a day. It's just going to be there. So it's going to be a thought, a reflection in our minds. You're driving, you can think about it. You're standing in a queue, you can think about it. You're waiting for your kids to come out from school, on the school run, you can think about it. You're doing the cooking, you can think about it. It's easy, because the thoughts are constant. It's ongoing, isn't it? Right, I'll give you some more examples. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Indeed, with every difficulty, there's ease. Right? وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودِ. He's talking about Allah. Allah is the most forgiving and the most loving. اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah is the guardian and the close friend of the believers. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with the patient ones. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul is going to taste death. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah says, we are closer to you than your jugular vein. There are so many verses. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. اقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. One of the parts is, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know, meaning does a human being not know that Allah is always watching him? How powerful would that be? Right, that particular one. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does a human being not know that Allah is always watching him? Then you've got فِيهِ شِفَاءُ لِلنَّاسِ. This is just some I put together just before I came here. I thought, let me think of a few simple parts of verses. And you've got the whole Quran in front of you. You can pick out any verses that stand out to you, part of a verse. And of course, we're not Hafidh, so you just have it there. The highest thought that you can engage in is you can spend moments in your day thinking about a verse of the Quran. That's it. That's all you have to do is think. You don't have to say anything. You're just occupying your mind. Can there be anything better? How beneficial it's going to be spiritually, psychologically for your mind, for your brain. It's going to be awesome, right? Especially in a time like this where, you know, people are... Let's not get into it anyway. So the first thing is revealed verses. Number two. Now, we can't always be thinking about that. We can't always be thinking about an ayah of the Quran. So one step lower than that, and again, this is an easy one as well, is to think about the witnessed signs. The first were the revealed signs, or revealed verses. The second are the witnessed signs. What are the witnessed signs? Is literally the creation of Allah. The creation of Allah. Now, what's happened is we've become so used to the creation, is we don't really think about it. But for example, going to see a sunset, many people do it, right? That is probably one of the greatest things you can think about. When you're seeing the sunset, this is Allah's creation. You're thinking about Allah's power, Allah's qudrah. And that's what should reach you to. Not just saying, wow, and that's it. Right? You see the changing of the... Like, we need to learn from little kids. Little kids are fascinated by the clouds. Like, who looked about the clouds the last time? When was the last time you looked about a cloud and were fascinated by it? Right? We've stopped being fascinated with these things. We need to learn from little children to look at the clouds. Allah speaks about this in the Quran. To look at a tree. To look at the rainfall. Right? And be fascinated by it. And this allows us to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second thing. You're not doing anything. We're not asking you to do anything. It's your thoughts. Thinking about Allah's qudrah, Allah's power through His creation. Through His creation. On Sunday morning, we're speaking about Allah's names in our Fajr campaign. And one of the name of Allah we're speaking about right now is Al-Qadir, the most powerful one. And one of the things we said is, what a manifestation of His power in this world is how He's made every single person different. So you could reflect on Allah's qudrah whenever you see anybody. Because that's awesome, right? Think about it. From the time of Adam alayhi salam until now, and from now till Qiyamah, millions and millions and millions and millions of people have been created. And no two people are alike. Like, how can you even think of so many different designs? So many different looks. And then going further, we spoke about how Allah says in the Quran that on the day of judgment, when He resurrects you, not only is He going to resurrect your face and your body, He's even going to resurrect your fingerprint, because every fingerprint design is different as well. So it's there. You don't have to go far to think of the highest thoughts. It's right in front of you. So the witnessed signs, number two. A step lower now. Now, if you're not thinking about a verse of the Quran, if you're not thinking about one of Allah's witness signs, number three is, think about blessings in your life. Blessings in your life. A very noble thing to do. To think about blessings in your life. But we don't have to go far. And this does so much good for you. It makes you into a really good person. It makes you into a really good person to be around as well. People will want to be around you. If you're a person who reflects on your blessings, the first benefit will be, you'll be kicking shaitan up his backside, because if you remember yesterday, we said that shaitan, when he was discarded from Jannah, he said to Allah that I'm going to come in front and behind, from right and left. Why? What does he want to do? To make sure that what? We become ungrateful. This is his mission in life, to make us ungrateful. So if we can count our blessings and think about the things that Allah has given us, right? This is one of the highest thoughts that you can engage in. A very noble act of worship, to think about your blessings. Whether it be you're thinking about your clothing, how much food we've got, like at the moment on iftar, how much food do we have? Where people are dying in Gaza and in Yemen and in Syria, in other parts of Sudan and other parts of the world, right? How much food do we have? And even then we're complaining, it's not enough. Or you didn't do this, or we don't have this, right? Each thing, when you start thinking about it, right? At the moment, I'm thinking, I've got hands. So many people don't have hands. I've got a thumb, right? I can move it. So many people have hands. They can't use them. They're paralyzed, right? And from each thing, you can go from one to another. It'll keep taking you. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And in return, what will happen is, if you're counting your blessings, you're going to become a very pleasant person to be around. If you feel you're a miserable whatever, right? and you're finding it hard, start counting your blessings. Automatically, it'll change you as a person. You will change as a person. Think about the people you like being around. Most likely, they are grateful people. Because those who are ungrateful are just criticizing, complaining, finding faults in things, and they're always negative about stuff. People don't like being around such people. So it'll make you a really good person. People will want to be around you because you're counting your blessings. At the same time, you're not claiming to be anything special because you're dedicating it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So counting your blessings will create gratitude. Gratitude creates love. Creates love of Allah. It creates the love of Allah, doesn't it? Because you look at yourself as someone that's blessed. You don't feel like you're deprived. So how many have we said? Three. So the first one is thinking about one of Allah's revealed verses, ayah of the Quran. Number two, witness signs, Allah's creation. Number three, think of a blessing in life. Number four. The fourth thing, if we're not thinking about any of those things, the fourth thing I should be thinking about is, I should be thinking about my faults, my shortcomings. But here we have to be careful with the idea of how I can become better. So it motivates me. So we have to be careful here, because sometimes shaitan can make you feel despondent and hopeless and tell you you're a loser, you're really bad, you're corrupt. No. We think about our faults in a motivating way. Forward thinking. Right? We're solution focused. We're not getting stuck in the back in what happened in the past. No. We're looking forward. We're thinking, how can I become better? So I start looking up, checking, you know, what's my character like? What's my language like? What's my salah like? How's my relationship with so-and-so? What's my financial dealings like? I start looking and thinking about these things with the intention of becoming better. Very noble thought. That's something good. And if you're engaged in that, that's also good as well. So if you're not thinking about a verse of the Quran, these are the five highest types of thoughts, by the way. So you're going to be safe. You're guaranteed to be safe here. So either you're thinking about a verse of the Quran. You can't do that. Okay. Think about one of Allah's signs. Right? You can't do that. Think of a blessing that Allah's given you. Right? You can't do that. Think of a fault that you've got and how you can improve. Number four. And the last one, number five. This is really, really interesting. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim says, number five is, think about wajibul waqt, the need of the moment. The need of the moment. What's the need of the moment? If I'm at home, and my son, I've got a five-year-old son, he's called Usaid. If he asks me, Daddy, can you play snakes and ladders with me? Right? If I'm down there on the floor, and he wants me to play with him, or he wants me to go on his computer with him, whatever. If I'm there, sitting there, where should my thoughts be? Where should my thoughts be? Most of the time, the problem with us is, we're here, but we're not here. We're with him, but we're not with him. We're with someone, but we're not with them. We're somewhere, but our thoughts are somewhere else. He says the next thought, and this is one of the highest things to be, is focus on where you are. If I'm playing with my kid, my full attention should be there. I shouldn't be thinking about other things. 100% I should be there. Where most of the time we're doing something, we're thinking about, give whatever you're doing, give that the full attention. That's the need of the moment. It's called the need of the moment. It's a very noble thing to do, because you're engaging with what you're supposed to be doing. Be present, be focused. And this is what he says. And then he goes on to say, apart from these, every other thought is a waswasa. There you go. Every other thought is a waswasa. So there you go. You've got the whole toolkit now. You can figure it out for yourself. So remember, we said the four in the beginning, right? Worldly benefit, saving from worldly harm. Hereafter benefit, saving from a hereafter harm. And then we said the highest type of thoughts. Quranic verse, number one. Number two, the creation of Allah. Number three, Allah's blessings in your life. Number four, thinking about how you can better yourself. And number five, this is a really good one, because Anyone can do this. Need of the moment. Need of the moment. You're at work, focus on work. That's where you're meant to be. If you do that, you won't think about something else. Okay, right now, you're here, you focus on here. If you're sitting here, and you're thinking about something else. And we do that a lot. So it's about us protecting our thoughts. Protecting our thoughts. Because one of the most powerful tools of shaitan are the arrows, the thoughts. And if we can overcome that, like if we know his next blow and how he's going to attack you, and you're 10 steps ahead of him, he's not going to be able to attack you. Now, the last thing I'm going to mention is, there's different ways of, like, for some people the first thing will be sufficient. For some people the second part will be sufficient. There's another way of dealing with this as well, a very simplified way. Sometimes we don't have so much time. So, if a thought comes to you, a simple way of dealing with it is, place that thought on the Sharia, on the Quran and Sunnah. Now, you need to have a bit of knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah to do this. Does the Quran and Sunnah approve of this thought? If yes, Alhamdulillah. If no, Astaghfirullah. Right? And move on. Sometimes you might not get your answer. You might be conflicted thinking, I'm not sure really if this is okay to think about in the Quran and Sunnah. So then, step two is place it on the Salaf or someone pious. Like, what would Imam Abu Hanifa say about this thought? What would Imam Malik say? Would Imam Shafi have this kind of a thought? If you don't want to go that far, and if your grandma's pious, just think about, would my grandma think of this thought as a good idea? She's always doing dhikr and she's busy. Would she think this is a good idea? And that you'll get your answer there. You will probably get your answer. And if you don't get your answer there, then the ulama have said a third step, which is really interesting, because they say, place it on your nafs. On your nafs. Because your own nafs, if it likes the idea, most likely it's a bad thought. Because the nafs is really dodgy. It takes a long time for the nafs to start enjoying good. Most immediately, do you know these guys who run every single day? Do you think they enjoy it? They don't enjoy it. They're doing it because they want to achieve something else, right? So the nafs, if it enjoys it, something wrong there. If the nafs likes the thought, there's something dodgy there. Because the nafs, most of the time, doesn't like good things. It likes bad things. Especially when you present it to it straight away and it buys into it. Think straight away, you know, this is not a good thought to have. So we end on this today, inshallah. So just to reiterate, today we spoke about how the arrows and the nets. Yesterday we gave 7 tools and those were the nets. Today we spoke about the arrows. And we said that you can categorize the thoughts into 4. And then we said there are 5 areas which are known as the highest thought. And one task I'm giving everybody today is pick an ayah of the Quran and start doing this. It's honestly the best thing you will ever do in your life. Take an ayah and just stick to it for 1 week. Then switch it up whenever you're ready. And just have it there. You know, it doesn't have to be 24/7. It's whenever you get a moment, right? And you just spend a bit of time throughout the day just thinking about that ayah. That's it. You don't have to go deep into it. Just thinking about it. And when you can't do that, then when you look at the signs of Allah, just pondering upon how great Allah is. You can't do that, count your blessings. Look for things to be grateful for. Alhamdulillah, we've got water, right? Just look for things to be grateful for. You can't do that, think where you can improve. And you can't be doing that, just focus on whatever you're doing then. Just keep your mind on, like, be with the person you are. We're human beings, not human doings. We're human beings. Be present. Don't be absent. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في غزة اللهم انصرهم نصرا عزيزا وآتهم فتحا قريبا يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا وسندا وظهيرا. اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد، اللهم أفرغ عليهم صبرا وثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على القوم الكافرين. اللهم خذ، اللهم عليك بأعداء الإسلام والمسلمين فإنهم لا يعجزونك، اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر، اللهم واقطع دابرهم، اللهم شتت شملهم، اللهم مزق جمعهم، اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم، اللهم أهلكهم كما أهلكت عادا وثمود. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من كيد الغاصبين، اللهم أعد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين، واستعملنا في تحريره يا رب العالمين. ربنا تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وتلاوة القرآن، إنك أنت السميع العليم، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.